Oh, loving God, we praise you that you're not bound by time, that you were there yesterday, you're here today, and you will be there tomorrow. We thank you, Lord, and it's so staggering as we look at your word, that as we gather here to worship you, as we express our love for you and ascribe glory to you, you have loved us, Lord, before the foundations of the world. Even before we were born, even before we had faith, even before we called out and cried out to you. May this truth, Lord, never depart our hearts. May this familiar truth, Lord, so embrace us to drive us, O Lord, to our knees to worship you and to live for you. As we worship you now, as we come to your truth, your word is truth, we ask nothing less and nothing more but your word to be preached faithfully. And may we be not just hearers, Lord, but be doers of your word in these trying and struggling times. We need your truth. So preach to us now as we become as kids, listening and eager, anticipating to hear from their Father who loves them so much. This is our heart's cry in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Good morning once again. Namiss ko kayo last week. But before we begin our study on... We're starting a new series, by the way. Let me just make some announcements. Kindly be praying for the Ibrahims. Remember Pastor Keith, our former senior pastor, and Sister Linda. They're now based in Cagayan de Oro. Pastor Keith is now part of the Exposers Academy. He's been teaching a lot of men in that region as he is teaching biblical studies. And they reached out to us, sharing with us one of their important concerns and urgent concerns right now. So be praying for them, particularly Sister Linda, because she has been suffering from like back aches for quite a while now, and they found out that she needs to be operated on in one of her discs. That's going to be very difficult, especially now in the pandemic. So be praying for her. She needs to be admitted on the 20th and needs to be operated on the 22nd. So be praying for them. Be praying for wisdom for the doctors. Be praying for grace and peace for the couple. And if the Lord is leading you to be helping out, because this is very expensive, beloved, this is a very expensive operation. So be considering that. Be praying for that. And we will be giving you details soon as to how you could help out. Right? So if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. And if you would see, this is a very lengthy psalm. So it would take us probably 2 days to finish this psalm. But let me just say and encourage all of you that as of the last counting, we have been going through the Psalms since last year. And as of the last count, we have studied 52 of the 150 Psalms in the entire Psalter. That is 34.67%. I did my math. 34.67. Let me just announce that from now till the end of the year, we'll be looking at the Book of Psalms as we will be looking at this lengthy chapter. The longest chapter, not just in the whole Psalter, hindi lang sa Book of Psalms, but in the entire Bible. Imagine 176 verses. But let me just encourage all of you. We just finished the Egyptian Hallel, right? Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 and the Songs of Ascent, right? Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And we have learned that both collections, as we went through every verse, are a collection of songs that the Israelites sing to remember the loving kindness of Yahweh as they remember Him saving them. We've seen that this collection of songs vary in situations and occasions, from struggles, from troubling times, to victory and expression of trust unto the Lord. But there was one theme, diba? And that one theme that was emphasized is the faithfulness of God and the resolve, the conviction of the writer, of the worshiper to ascribe glory to Yahweh. Egyptian Hallel, worship. Songs of Ascent, worship. Sandwiched between the two is this lengthy chapter telling us that this is a chapter that we need to also look into, with both bookends focusing on worship and this one particular chapter focus on the Word of God. 176 verses, one theme, the Word of God and the importance and significance of God's Word in the life of the believer. It's also telling us that worship unto the Lord should be informed by His Word. What did Jesus say? The kind of worshiper that the Father seeks? Those who worship in spirit and in truth. Those who worship with all that they are, with zeal and zest, driven and motivated and informed by God's truth. Now again, this is a lengthy chapter, 176 verses long. But did you know that you would see a structure here? You would see an obvious structure. Those of you who have physical Bibles, I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. And to those of you who are using Bible apps, I want you to look at this chapter, and you would notice a very obvious structure. That this psalm, this chapter, is divided into sets or stanzas of 8 verses each stanza. So therefore, we have 22 stanzas in all. 22 times 8, 176. And you would notice as well that after every stanza, or rather, before every stanza begins, there is a heading there. Notice the heading of Psalm 119, verse 1, Aleph. Verse 9, Beth. Verse 17, Gimel. And so forth and so on. Some of you may know this, but some of you may not. These are the alphabet. These are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you want to learn the Hebrew alphabet, look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, then, beloved, is an acrostic psalm. Those of you who were in grade school, went to, like, di ba? May mga performance tayo, acrostic. This is an acrostic psalm built on the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each stanza begins with the same letter. Like the first stanza that we're looking at, Aleph. Every line starts with the letter Aleph. The next stanza would begin with the letter Beth, and so forth and so on. So if this was written in English, every letter, every line in each stanza, like the stanza we're looking at, would be starting from letter A. And this tells me one thing. This is a well-thought song. Di ba? Pinag-isipang maigi. But more than looking at who this genius is who wrote this, and we don't know who wrote this. Some say it's David. I was looking at Dr. George Zemeck's commentary. He is suggesting it's Daniel. But we're not sure. But one thing's for sure. The Holy Spirit inspired whoever the writer is. So we see the genius of Scripture. A structured song that discusses the importance of God's Word in the life of the believer. Let me share with you some interesting facts before we begin this introductory material. Charles Spurgeon, in his 3-volume work on the Treasury of David, spent 349 pages on this chapter alone. Ang haba, di ba? Charles Bridges, a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon, wrote 481 pages on this psalm alone, on this chapter alone. And did you know that he wrote that when he was only 33 years old? Puritan Thomas Manton wrote 190 sermons, not pages, 190 sermons on this chapter. That's more sermons than the verses that we see in this chapter. All in all, he wrote 1,677 pages. These men spent that long? Yeah, we understand it's a lengthy chapter. Let me share with you that there are those who memorized. Yes, meron nag-memorize nito. Yeah, I hope you would try memorizing 176 verses. Believe it or not, there are those who memorized the psalm. John Ruskin, raised by a Calvinistic mother, made him to memorize various passages in the Bible. One of them is Psalm 119. Listen to him, a grown-up, as he reflected on the process of memorizing Psalm 119. And I quote, "It is strange that of all the pieces of the Bible which my mother taught me, that which caused me the most to learn, and which was to my childish mind the most repulsive, the 119th Psalm has now become of all the most precious to me in its overflowing and glorious passion of love for the law of God." While he was trying to memorize this psalm, he didn't like it. But as he reflected on the process of memorizing this psalm, he said, "This is the most precious to me." William Wilberforce, a British writer who became a member of the Parliament in the 1800s, who endured great opposition to his anti-slavery bill, testified while he was walking. Where was I? Thank you for listening. Wilberforce. While he was walking in the park, he said he was contemplating on Psalm 119. One of the founders or the foundations or the stalwarts of worldwide missions, David Livingstone. Did you know that he won his New Testament Bible when he was a Sunday schooler, 9 years old, when he recited Psalm 119? Wow. Needless to say, dear ones, this lengthy psalm is very significant. A very significant chapter. It's not significant because it's long or lengthy. It is significant because it is comprehensive. As we look at what the Word of God plays in the life of the believer of God. Almost every verse makes reference to the Word of God. A commentator said, "This is the Christian's golden ABCs of praise, love, power, and use of the Word of God." Again, it is an alphabetic psalm. The main theme is the Word of God. And you would notice something here. A repetition of different names ascribed to the Word of God. We would see instruction or law. It was mentioned 25 times. We would see the word word 24 times. It was mentioned here. Judgments or ordinances mentioned 23 times. Decrees 23 times. Commands 22 times. Statutes 21 times. Precepts 21 times. Promise or word 19 times. So
It's very clear. The theme of this chapter is the Word of God. Various names used here for the Word of God. But let me take you to another thing that we need to be embracing. The name Lord, Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D, appears 24 times. God only once. However, the pronoun your occurred 211 times. God and His Word is the central theme of this psalm. Let me just take note as well. As you look into this psalm, this chapter, we would see that affliction is the backdrop of this chapter. Chapter, verse 8, 20, 23, every stanza has a verse that discusses about affliction by the writer. Yet, we would see his strong and firm conviction that amidst the struggle, he would continue on embracing God's Word. Today, we'll begin the first stanza. As we listen to the writer, as he gives us four distinct characters of a blessed man of the Lord, four distinct characters of a man blessed before the Lord. May I ask everyone to please stand as we read together the first stanza. Psalm 119, starting with verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may now take your seats. In this first stanza, Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the writer gives truths that lead to the blessed life, the happy life. You want to be happy? Listen to the writer of this psalm. He describes for us what this blessed man looks like. And he's telling us that blessedness is directly related, listen, to the obedience, adherence, and dependence to the Word of God. Here we would see four headings as we look at this blessed man. In verse 1 to 3, the writer would describe to us the personality of this blessed man. The personality of this blessed man. In verse 4, we would see the priority of this blessed man. In verse 5 to 6, we would see his pleas and petitions. In verse 7 to 8, we would see his pledge or his promise. Four headings, four characteristics of a blessed man before the Lord. We will look at his personality, his priority, his pleas, and his pledge. The personality, the priority, the pleas, and the pledge of a blessed man before the Lord. Again, and this is in relation to God's Word. What does this tell us? This tells us that a believer who is a genuine believer, his aspirations, his petitions, his convictions, his personality, and his priority is always linked. No. Is revolving around God's Word. It dominates his decisions, his commitments, his affections, and his intentions. As early as now, may I ask you, are you this blessed man? Are you this blessed woman? Let's find out as we look at this blessed man. Nowadays, it's so easy for us to say, oh, I love God. I love His Word. But listen, do we consult His Word when push comes to shove? Do we consult His Word with regards to how we choose our lifetime partner? Young people, do we do business or do we work as an employee in accordance to the principles found in the Bible. Parents, do we raise our kids with biblical principles? In this pandemic, do we address the struggles, the pain, the depression with the truths in Scripture? I pray that this chapter, this stanza, would comfort our hearts. I pray that this stanza would convict our hearts to be resolved to develop a love for God and His Word. Just like what David said in Psalm 19, verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Sana ganito ang pagtingin natin sa salita ng Diyos. Look at verse 1 to 3 again as we look at this person's personality. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek with their whole heart, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. In verse 1, we see the writer describes for us that this blessed man has a righteous lifestyle. In verse 2, this blessed man is described as having steadfast devotions. In verse 3, we are given a glimpse of this blessed man's predictable convictions. Here we see the character, the commitment, and the conduct of a genuine believer. Thus we said, this is talking about the personality of this blessed man. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man. Doesn't this remind you of the first Psalm? Psalm chapter 1, read a while ago. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Did you notice that the word blessed is repeated twice in this section? It is a twofold blessing for those who walk in the word of the Lord. You see that word blessed? We tend to miss this. In the original language, this word is in the plural form. So literally, it would read this way, oh, the blessednesses. I know that's wrong grammar, but it's in the plural. Oh, the blessednesses, or perhaps, oh, the many bountiful blessings. Repeated twice, both plural. This is calling our attention, listen, to the experiential joy that you and I would experience if we adhere to the Word of God. This is telling us that the Lord is the author and the source of all blessings, and we are merely recipients. And the blessing described here is the happiness that God gives to those who demonstrate a pattern of consistent obedience to God's Word. Are you happy? Are you basically happy? Is the pattern of your life, are you joyful? If not, maybe, just maybe, you are lacking in obedience in God's Word. The writer says, oh, the many blessednesses, twofold blessed, to those who obey God's Word, because obedience to God's Word is the means by which God bestows blessing upon His people. Blessed, happy, fortunate are those whose way is blameless, says verse 1, and who walk according to the Lord's instruction. It's so easy for us to see these two ideas supporting each other. The word way can mean path or roadway. And it speaks of a habitual pattern of someone. Like a roadmap, a believer's lifestyle must be blameless. Blameless people are people of integrity. Their manner of life is above reproach. And we're not talking about perfection here, friends. We're not. No one is perfect, but a pattern of holy disposition. They conduct themselves wisely because they walk in the Word of God. Like the man of Psalm chapter 1 who delights in the Lord's instruction and meditates on God's Word day and night. This blessed man does that, therefore his way is blameless. The word blameless can also be defined or described as faithfulness. This blessed man, his life knows nothing of duplicity or hypocrisy. Hindi doble cara ang mamang ito, ang aling ito. There is no pretense in this man, in this woman. He rejoices that happiness and holiness are his wonderful companions. Let me say that again. Holiness and happiness are his wonderful companions. And his life is defined by his walk in the Word of God. Again, let me ask you, are you joyful? If you're lacking in joy, there one of two may be true about you. One, you may be lacking in obedience in God's Word, or maybe you're not a believer at all. You would say, oh, masaya naman ako eh. Yeah. As the world defines happiness. But this is joy beyond compare in the truest sense of the word. Charles Spurgeon comments on this. The holy life is a walk, a steady progress, a quiet advance, and a lasting continuous. This speaks of a pattern, dear ones. A consistency of the walk. The writer said that this is the blessed man. The one who patterns his life, listen, consistently with Scripture. Let me picture that for you. When I was younger, perhaps some of you did this before. I remember I loved tracing papers. You remember the tracing papers? Yung maninipis na papel? Because when you were younger, you're not that good in drawing. I love cartoons then. All of my notebooks are cartoon characters, and I wanted to draw these cartoon characters, but I cannot. So what I did, had tracing papers, right, and put it on top of the cartoon character that I love, and then I was like tracing and outlining my favorite cartoon character on the tracing paper. Pagkatapos nun, kaparehong kapareho halos. It's almost like the original picture. Then I would start coloring them. That is the picture that the psalmist wants it to have. This blessed man carefully traces and outlines his life over the Word of God. Friends, to be this blessed man, to be this blessed woman, our lives need to be guided, to be outlined or traced and patterned over the Word of God. How is your life? Are you this blessed man? When you take your life and overlay it on the backdrop of Scripture, would you see similarities or discrepancies? As Christians, dear ones, people should see the similarity of the Bible that they read in the life that we live. I pray that our conduct is like that of this blessed man described by this writer. Verse 2. Maaga pa naman. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Notice that the writer used the word keep. Other translations say observe, and the word seek. What does this say? These point to the commitment of this blessed man to examine God's word with diligence. As believers, we should study Scripture with divine determination to know what the Lord requires of us, what He expects from us. Blessing comes when we understand those principles and we put them in practice. The focal point of our devotion must be to study, to read, and to examine God's Word carefully and then practice it, live it out in order to honor and please the Lord, in order for us to be blessed and to have that joy beyond compare, ever regardless of the situation, pandemic or no pandemic at all. You want to know what pleases the Lord? Passionately pursue the Word of God. Be steadfast in your devotion. Let the words in Joshua chapter 1 challenge and encourage you. This book of the law, verse 8, Joshua 1, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Maybe because the reason why you have lapses in observing and following and living out God's Word, maybe you're not that diligent in studying God's Word. But how do we seek after God? The writer tells us. Look at verse 2 again. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. In the Hebrew, heart is the central processing unit of every man. It's talking about not just emotions, not just intellect, not just will. It's talking about everything about you. Translated, it would read, who seek Him with their whole being, with their whole person. Are you that way towards the Word of God? Or are you indifferent? All faculty should be focused in the pursuit of reading, studying, and obeying God's Word. Now this phrase, with their whole heart, or with my whole heart, was used 5 other times in the whole psalm. I want you to listen to how they were used. Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 34, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Verse 58, I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. Verse 69, the insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Verse 145, with my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. Friends, our devotion must be like that of the writer. We should pursue God with every fiber of our being. I like how Steve Lawson puts it. A genuine Christian who loves God and His Word, when you cut his vein, he would bleed Bible. He would bleed Scripture. That is what the psalmist is saying. I love God's Word. I love His law. But I love it so much that I am pursuing it some more. I would be diligent. I would want to understand and purposely apply it to my life. Again, is this you? How's your Bible reading? Is it just to move the bookmark? Are you even understanding what you're reading? Are you appreciating? Are you feasting on God's Word? A genuine believer, dear ones, a genuine believer would love God and His Word. This should be seen in us so that we would be blessed in the truest sense of the word. The blessed person seeks the Lord in God's Word with all his heart, with all his faculty. This speaks of passion, conviction. Why? He understands that the knowledge of God cannot be found elsewhere but God's Word. The word decree here or testimonies has a covenantal connotation. Listen to Spurgeon as he comments on this. Blessedness is ascribed to those who treasure up the testimonies of the Lord, in which is implied that they search the scriptures, that they come to an understanding of them, that they love them, and then that they continue in practice of them. We must first get a thing before we can keep it. How can you keep God's word when you don't get it yet, when you don't read it yet? Again, let me ask you, does this describe your personality? Is this you? Again, if you're not experiencing lasting joy in your Christian life, examine your character. Reassess your commitment. Evaluate your behavior. And do it in the light of God's word, so that we will be this blessed man and experience lasting joy even amidst this pandemic. Yes, even amidst the pandemic. Look at verse 3. Who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. This verse echoes the wisdom of verse 1 and flows naturally from verse 2. You can know everything about God's law, you can know everything about God's word, but unless you practice it, unless you apply it, it won't mean anything. That is what the writer is saying here. The believer is described by what he puts into practice. His devotion, his commitment is only as good as his application. And not only is he known for seeking what is good, he also is known to be intentional in not doing all that is wrong. Where would he get that? How would he know that one thing is wrong? From God's word. If we seek the Lord with all our heart, try nyo lang. We would not practice sa biyaya ng Diyos any wrongdoing. Immerse yourselves in God's word. Ano sabi ni Pablo sa Romans chapter 6? You have present every members of your body unto righteousness. The writer is saying, if we seek the Lord with all our heart, if we have this conviction, if we have this commitment, we would have a pattern, a predictable pattern. We would be known. Ah, ganun talaga yan. Ah, alam ko na yan eh. Let me just ask you, I was just curious, has anyone invited you to a drinking spree? When I got saved, before I got saved, I did that. When I got saved, of course, they tried. But because of God's grace, I was consistent. I'm not going to do that. They stopped asking me anymore. That is what this writer is saying. God's word is our roadmap. It is our guide with regards to our daily walk. It forms habits and direct our pursuits. Ligon Duncan says, the way of the Lord is about walk, not talk. He is right. People like that do not merely say the right things, they do the right things. Out of what we call gospel gratitude, these blessed people live out the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ because they are made new. Again, dear ones, I can't help but ask, is this you? And I ask this very lovingly. How do we describe the personality of a genuine believer? How do we describe a blessed man's personality? It's marked with a righteous lifestyle, steadfast devotion, predictable convictions. Again, it's so easy nowadays to say, I'm a follower of God. But does our personality jive with the Word of God? If so, according to this stanza, you are a blessed man. You are a blessed woman before the Lord. after giving us the personality of this blessed man. The writer now gives us this blessed man's priority. Look at verse 4. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. I like that. God, in His infinite wisdom, has given us everything that we need for life in godliness. Sabi ni Pedro. The word commanded here, you see that word? Literally means to appoint. Here, the writer is telling us that God is the one who established divine orders. That God is sovereign over all, that He is king. God's word are not suggestions. They are commands. They are demands from the great King that we should obey as committed soldiers. God's precepts, His instructions, come to us with force. Have you ever seen a private being given a command by the four-star general? Five-star general is the president, right? And then the private would say, "Ah, I'm not going to listen to you." It's like that, dear ones. The commander-in-chief of the whole universe has given us His marching orders. And if you claim to be a follower of God, you are His soldier. You have to follow. These are divine orders. It says your precepts, God's precepts, right? We need to be careful in following every detail of His command. That is why we need to be studying His command. Because half obedience is a whole disobedience. This is the believer's priority. It cannot be set aside. It's coming from the ruler of everything. It is of great importance. We are to obey God's word fully and completely. To obey it attentively. And to obey it thoroughly. Again, partial obedience is complete disobedience. Just as partial faithfulness or honesty is a complete lie. Tingnan niyo ulit yung verse. Notice that the believer is not to make his own precepts. Who made the precept? Your, God's precepts. We don't edit or read in our preferences, our comforts and conveniences into God's word. Nowadays, ang dali-dali niyang gawin. When the Bible tells us to do hard things, like to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, we take it lightly and interpret that with our preferences. Ah, hindi naman siguro ganyan yan. Baka pwede nang maging Christian. Eh, pastor, wala siyang ibang Christian na kaibigan. I may be the one that God can use to make him a believer. We read in our preferences. It's His precepts. We have no freedom to edit it. We have no freedom to take it lightly. Oftentimes, we don't want to do the hard things. See that word, diligently? What does diligence mean? It entails a picture of hard work, diba? It entails a picture of persistence. This is not an easy task. Listen, if you think that the Christian life is easy, you are mistaken. The Christian life is hard, but as our priority, we eliminate those that are less important. Because we know that these are marching orders from the King. It has a picture of urgency. It requires our undivided attention. This desire to prioritize and to put God in His Word as our priority is woven all throughout this chapter. Let me take you to some verses. Kindly list this down. I'm going to read every verse. Verse 30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. Verse 44. I will keep your law continually. When? Until when? Forever and ever. Verse 57. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. Verse 59, when I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies, says the writer. Verse 60, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Verse 61, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. 87, they have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. 101. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. 106. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. 112. I inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. 141, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. 157, many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. Lastly, 168, I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. For this writer, following and obeying God's word is not a suggestion. It is his priority. It is his conviction to keep the word of God. Is it yours? Do you find quality time to read God's word? Is God's word your priority over your business, over your work, over relationships, over your favorite TV shows, or your favorite vlogger, or even sports? Today is game 5 of the NBA Finals. I pray that we are not prioritizing others over the word of God. I pray that we are not just opening our Bibles just for the sake of opening them. I pray that we are not moving our bookmarks just for the sake of our self-gratification. Nagbabasa ako ng Bible. I hope we are feasting on every word and not just mumbling them. Listen, don't give your spare time to your Bible reading. Some would say, I don't have time. Schedule everything else around your spending time in God's Word. You have work? Find time. Be creative. Audio Bibles. I pray that we are like this blessed man, delightfully fixated on keeping the instructions of the Lord, because for him it's not a burden, it's a joy. A genuine believer would not find reading the Bible a chore. It is a joy. I remember when I was courting Rita, or was it the other way around? I love writing letters and poems, and Rita told me that she loved reading them. Di ba pag mahal mo, once he or she writes you a letter, you would keep it? You would read it, di ba? Numerous times. Who is the greatest lover that you have ever known? God is. And he left you his love note. Read it. I guarantee you, if you read it with all your heart,
it would rekindle your love for Him. Don't give God your spare time. Schedule everything else around God's work. In verses 5 to 8, we would see a shift to a first-person perspective. The psalmist would now express everything in a deeply personal way. His desire to obey the teachings of the Bible, he would express it very personally. We would see 6 personal pronouns in this section. Here is the writer, as if stopping and looking at the mirror and assessing his own inadequacy. Yes, we get it. Yes, we should be listening. Yes, we should be reading. Yes, we should be studying. Yes, we should be embracing God's word. But we are frail. We have our own inadequacies. And this is what the writer is going to tell us. Listen now to his personal pleas. Look at verse 5. Here we see the psalmist is overcome by his own weakness and frailties. He knows his own inconsistencies, just like you and I. Gaano ka quiet yung quiet time niyo? Sobrang quiet? You start in the evening, ang amen, bukas na? Ang haba mag-pray, nakatulugan pala? The writer knows how often he fails to keep God's word diligently. So he cries out to God in prayer. Look at verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Don't you see yourself in this verse? I know I do. I know I need to be reading God's word. I need to be consistent with my devotions, but there are times that I fail. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. This prayerful exclamation should resonate in each of us. The word statutes here, and in verse 8, emphasizes the binding nature of God's law. The writer knows what is expected of him. He knows he needs to read God's word and study God's word and be in God's word, but he knows his inadequacies. He knows his shortcomings. He knows his limitations. And this is a reality for all of us. Diba? And at times, it would do 2 things to a believer. I failed reading God's word. Hindi na lang ako magbasa talaga. Ganon din naman eh. Diba? I'll just not read God's word so that I would not make promises. Or you would be like this blessed man who would cry out, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. The writer seems to say, Lord, grant this request. I want to be studying God's word. I want to be keeping God's word. Listen, friends, to those of us who are genuinely saved, who loves God because He first loved us, we know our love is not perfect yet, diba? But our love for Him is an incorruptible love because it came from Him. You love me because I first loved you. The writer is saying, Lord, please help me be able to please you. Please help me keep your word. Sa atin siguro, you could say, Lord, please help me find time to read your word. Lord, this is my schedule. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so swamped right now. Lord, please help me. I know I need to prioritize you, but it's rather hard. Or am I even asking the right question? Is this you? Or are you the other person na hindi na lang magbasa? Ganun din naman. Don't you find comfort in this verse? Diba? This actually highlights God's love more beautifully. As in the language of Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him, for He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Don't miss the point of this verse. The writer knows his failures. He knows the shame that he feels when he does not keep God's word. Again, while some would be drifting away and justifying that, I have failed him miserably. Hindi na lang. The psalmist is aware that he needs to be asking God for help. Listen, you need to understand that you cannot on your own live out the Christian life. Sorry, I'm not mad. He's acknowledging that he needs God's enablement to be steadfast in his obedience. Ano yung response ng psalmist? As he looks at his inadequacies, sincere, di ba? Sincero and desperate. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. What he is saying here is that we should not be looking at ourselves for success in keeping God's law, but to look to God. And that is just staggering. We are commanded to keep His word. Yet, listen, the strength to do that still is from God Himself. Remember the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2, 13? For it is God who works in you, who is at work in you, God, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. As you do God's pleasure, as you obey God, who is working in you, it is still God. God wants us to be dependent on Him, even in our keeping His word, as we cry out to Him in desperation, as we cast upon Him our pleas. And you know what? He would definitely answer that. Where's the answer? Look at verse 6. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. We can accomplish anything because God is working in us. Even in your Bible reading, even in your devotions, He who began a good work in you would what? Faithful to complete it. Have you been to a point where you have been so tired and you've given up? The psalmist has. I have. And the writer is teaching us that we need to acknowledge our dependence on God. Listen, we cannot live out the Christian life on our own. We still need God. Steadfast obedience, total dependence, has a wonderful blessing. I would not be ashamed. Sabi ng writer. Christians cannot lose their salvation. However, we can be put to shame, di ba? Our failure to obey the will of our Father can be embarrassing. Tama? But as we cry out for help, we would surely not be put to shame. Spurgeon puts it very well. It reads, sin brings shame. And when sin is gone, the reason for being ashamed is banished. Adam and Eve had no experience of shame, diba? Until they listened to Satan and disobeyed the Lord. The same is true for us. To whose voice will you listen to? The psalmist has the answer. With God's help, I can think about all your commands. I can embrace your commands. I can obey your commands. You see that word fixed? Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments? This is telling us that the psalmist's eyes, attention, is glued on God's command. Thus, he is not put to shame. Anong timeless principle? If you're fixated, if your eyes are fixed on all God's command, all God's command, not some, not most, then I will not pick or choose the parts of the Bible that I would like to obey. It says all of your word for all of me. all the time will be all my ambitions, all my pursuit. There is no part-time Christianity for me. We've seen so far the godly personality of the blessed man. We've seen the priority of this blessed man. We have heard his desperate plea as he looks into his inadequacies, asking God, Lord, help me, please you. In verses 7 to 8, we would hear his pledge. And this is a twofold promise. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Again, I love Spurgeon as he reflects on this. He said, from prayer to praise is never a long and difficult journey. Be sure that who prays for holiness will one day praise for happiness. Galing, di ba? Verse 2 instructed us to seek the Lord with our whole heart. Now in verse 7, we declare that we will praise the Lord with an upright heart. Praise flows naturally from an upright heart that is fixed on all the commands of the Lord and that has learned to obey all His word. To this blessed man, obedience is not a burden. It is not a life of dullness or drudgery. It is a life of delight for him. Praise, joy, blessedness. You see, friends, learning the Word of God, His ways, His wisdom, as we are being discipled by God's Word, would eventually lead to praising Him. Listen, we cannot praise God out of a vacuum. Theology would lead into a doxology. To love God, we must know God. And as we know God, we would praise God. Spurgeon again beautifully says, we must learn to praise, learn that we may praise, and praise when we have learned. How can you praise when you have not learned anything from God's Word? The Bible is a songbook, a music book. Study it, and you will soon find yourself singing, praising, ascribing glory to the one who loved you first, while even you were a sinner. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. This first stanza ends on a note of resolve. I will keep. Will. Hindi sabi, I might keep. No, it's a resolve to keep God's statutes. The psalmist resolves with his whole heart in verse 2 and an upright heart in verse 7 to obey God's word and all of them. And this is not yabang. This is not a boastful declaration. We have seen his desperation, di ba? Never abandon me. See that? You've seen his plea, di ba? I've seen my own frailty. This tells us that the psalmist was, yes, in difficult situation. The reason why we fail to keep God's word is because of the struggles that we have. We are in a struggling time right now, di ba? But you have a choice, dear one. Focus on God. Focus on Him. Embrace His word. You would soon find yourself praising Him ever regardless of the situation. We would have difficulty in life. Sabi ni Pablo, all who want to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. The psalmist understands that our striving after obedience is worthless without the presence of our Lord as we go through struggles. Don't go after feelings, dear ones. Feelings can be deceptive. Go to the objective truth, and your joy will follow. With such a promise, the psalmist ends this stanza with a resolve, I will keep your statutes, but he say, please do not forsake me. I'm going through some struggles, please do not forsake me. This promise is the promise of this blessed man to keep on keeping on. You want to be blessed? You want to have joy? We have seen that blessedness and true lasting joy can only be found in God and abiding in His Word. Diba? I pray that we would be found in God's grace to be found having these characteristics. Our personality should be characterized with conviction to pursue after God. We have priority. And our priority is the Word of God. And when we fail, we sincerely and desperately ask God, please help out. I want to love you. I want to love your word. But please, I cannot do this on my own. Help me out. And then ask that you would have the resolve, I will keep your statutes. I will, Lord, with your help. I pray that this is you with God's grace. In conclusion, Psalm 119 is not only a beautiful portrait of the perfect, listen, written word of God, but also a beautiful portrait of the perfect living word of God. Jesus alone is the truly blameless man who walks in the word and seeks his Lord with his whole heart. Walking in the ways of his Father, he did no wrong and diligently kept the precepts, the statutes, the commands of Holy Scriptures. And when he died on the cross for the sins of those who would believe in him, although abandoned while the wrath of God was poured on him, he was not uttering, I would just go and not follow you anymore. What did he say? Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Jesus of Nazareth, it is the Psalm 119 man in a true and real sense. But you know what? Since you are his, when you put your faith in him, he will help you out as we strive to live out his word, to live the Christian life with Christ by our side. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for teaching us today. Oh, Lord, we cry out to you as this writer did. We know what is required of us. We know that we ought to love you and your word. And yet, Lord, we make many excuses. May this first stanza, as we study this lengthy song, may the stanza put a seed in our hearts, a small flicker that would turn into a flame as we would be ablazed in loving you and loving your word. Teach us, Lord, to love you, teach us to love your word. And may we be found, Lord, as this blessed man whose priority, whose intentions, commitment, aspirations, and affections revolve around you and your holy word. By your grace, we ask that this would happen to all of us. Because this we pray in the most precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.